This is the regular Luatech progress report. I think the last couple of conferences we have slowly increased, see the number there increasing.
Is there a limiting number like John has for Metaphor?
Well, we are,
tech?
No, not so much limiting, but at some point we think that we will have version one.
And then are you going to converge to something like square root of
no,
1.414?
maybe in time you find a magic number, yeah, but we are not doing it in succeed that way. did you finally get to 1, or is it now 1? What is it? 0.99999? You started to hide this number, I think. Okay. We did a couple of reports already at user group meetings, and since there is a little bit of overlap in the audience, I'm not going to repeat all the things that have been done so far. If Carl wants, he can have the full report in one of the tugboats. I think it's the most important thing that we can say is that we made some progress, but we didn't really change or add real big things the last half year. This is because there is the usual TechLive code freeze, and there should be a version of Luatech on TechLive, and the 040 version is the what we call the TechLive version, and it's more or less the version that most users, if they want to play with Luatech, will play with. In the meantime, well, we keep that version, and all there will be patches and bug fixes and whatever to that version, so the number will slowly increase. We also are working towards version 050, which will be released at Eurotech in a month from now. And the big thing that happened between 040 and 050 is that the whole code base is now in C. It's not yet C web, because that also includes documentation, but so that will be the next thing. But this is a major step, because it permits us to go further than we went so far. We'll come to that in a moment. We promised a production version last conference. Production version means a version that you can really use to do something useful, but doesn't crash after page 10 or 20. I think we can say that the version that goes on TechLive is pretty stable, unless you start, of course, messing around with really the dirty internals. But if you just use it and see it as a tech engine, you can use it. An important issue that always comes up when you talk about using tech for production is how compatible is it with the existing thing? And then, the first next question is, what is the existing thing? I think we can safely say that we currently have two engines. That's PDFTech and CTech that we can compare with. And PDFTech is a rather traditional engine, so you can say it's rather compatible, but it has a couple of extensions, so there are differences. CTech uses at least at some points a different rendering engine, so that's also not completely compatible. But how does Luatech compare with that? Well, first of all, if you talk about compatibility, you immediately come to the main virtues of tech, and one of them is to build nice paragraphs. And paragraph building is related to hyphenation, and hyphenation is related to hyphenation patterns, and hyphenation patterns are in traditional tech related to font encodings. And while we don't have font encodings, we live in a Unicode universe, and therefore you can expect differences in behavior between the engines simply because you use different patterns, more rich patterns or whatever that might be. Another difference is that in tech there are some limitations in the accuracy of your font matrix. There can only be 16 heights and depths in one DVM font. I don't know if anybody ever noticed. In the Luatech engine, we don't have that limitation. I'm not sure, but CTech probably also doesn't have that limitation, is it? You still carry the height and depth limitations?
Not if you're using OpenType files.
Right. So the same is true for LuaTeX. If you use a modern font, you don't get those limitations. It doesn't make sense anymore. Another important difference between, let's say, PDFTeX, that's where we started from, and LuaTeX is that the three stages of hibernation, ligature building, and kerning have been separated. In TeX, they are kind of interwoven, and there's a good reason for that. In general, the thing is that, say that you put something in a box. At that moment, you want to know the width, height, and depth, so to say, the dimensions of this box. But at the same time, you can unbox this thing, and then you can do other things with it, with the content, or it's added to something else, and that can mean that the dimensions come out in a different way. In TeX, this has resulted in, let's say, a kind of interwoven system where you have a sequence of characters that become glyphs, and you put them in some space, and well, in order to see if it fits, TeX has to know how such a word can be hyphenated. It has to inject the kerns in order to know what the exact dimensions will be, and it has to build ligatures. But at the same time, if you as soon as you undo this operation, it has to go back to this previous state somehow, and that means that there is some ligature reconstitution going on and things like that, which has a couple of side effects which are probably for most documents not noticeable. And it means that if you have documents that really depend on those things, then you might get a different outcome. I think in practice you can safely say that it won't happen, and the reason for that is that most users will in the meantime have updated their resources. They will use different hyphenation patterns, they will have updated fonts, whatever. Maybe the macro package they use has some different settings and whatever. If you really want a stable TeX, you should use Don Knuth's TeX with computer modern fonts. Stick to basically 7-bit plus kind of engine. And it's probably not what most users want. Okay, the roadmap, now that we are, I'm not talking of now talking of version 050, the roadmap is the following. The first thing that we want to do is to open up the paragraph builder a bit more. You have already access to it, but there are a lot of parameters involved in building this paragraph, and in TeX, a lot of these things were global variables. And I can put them in structures and carry them around so that you have access to the thing and can say, for instance, this is one of the things that is needed for the Oriental TeX project. To say, okay, I want to have all the information that is available now to make this paragraph, and now I want to implement my own paragraph builder. And that's easier now that we have the C version. Another thing that we had delayed till this conversion is opening up the output routine, because it also has some interwoven characteristics. And that will make it possible, I hope at least, to come up with, for instance, better solutions for multi-column output and things like that. There are some directional issues that we need to clean up. With directional, I mean the directional type setting, right to left, for instance. We use the Omega model, but I think that model had never been really applied to large-scale document and whatever. It also a couple of bugs and things like that, especially in the back end. There were a couple of surprises that we ran into. We tried to clean that up as much as possible. I think the overall model will stay, but it will become more robust. Another important step that is actually already underway is cleaning up the backend code. The backend code is basically PDF backend code, already extended to do a bit more, but it will be completely rewritten, separated from the main system, so that we can have multiple backends, things like that. A kind of ongoing effort. Actually, much of the backend code was already written in C, so that makes it easier. We have a couple of small things that we want to add to the core engine, a bit more control over things. Or sometimes you have, let's say, There is information there, but you don't have access to it. A good example is, I think, like inserts that I used, for instance, to implement footnotes and things like that. You don't have the information that you want at the moment that you want to make the decisions. Yeah, and of course we will take the freedom to do whatever we like. As I already explained many times, we don't come up with solutions. Making the solutions is up to you. And if you don't want to use it, you should ask your macro package writers. Okay. If you, and I think Aditya showed some of that already, if you want to use Lua, basically use the Lua programming mechanism available in Lua there, you can already do that. So if you have version 040 and you just treat it as if it were PDF there, everything should basically work. Probably if you use later, you should load Heiko's compatibility style, because we kicked out a few of the things out of PDF tech that can be implemented in Lua more easily. So Heiko made a style for that. And then you can just go and play around with Lua. In context, we go quite far in using Lua. And I think a lot of the mechanisms that have been opened up are also already used in the context machinery. And it even go as far as that we have a special version of that. We now have frozen the version for PDFTech that's used by PDFTech and XTech. Probably will be adapted to XTech behavior, but for PDFTech it's basically frozen. And for all development is now in the version that is for LuaTech. And I'm quite lucky that we have users who are willing to test that. It's surprisingly to see how fast users download new versions. We have what we call context minimal tree, which is a subset of that live on the context garden, where we also keep binaries, LuaTech binaries, for all platforms that make sense. We don't have an iPhone version yet, but maybe if somebody donates an iPhone, we can look into that. So users, as soon as there's a new version, can really be up to date quite fast. At the upcoming contact meeting, I will tell more about that, but probably not so many of you will be there. Okay, the areas that have been touched are, well, I can say all input-output. All input-output is done by Lua. So completely bypass their system there. Multiple fonts. This also includes not only OpenType, but also all type 1. In context, all type 1 fonts are now using the AFM matrix and the PFB data, and no longer use the TFM files that normally are generated with such fonts. It saves a lot of troubles. So actually, we only use, well, TFM for a little bit of masks that is still out there. All kinds of manipulations, like, for instance, you want to uppercase a word, or you want to uppercase the first character of each word in a sentence, or, well, any manipulation that you want to do with that kind of input is done in Lua. Actually, it's done, it's delayed. There is some kind of tagging takes place, and the action is really done on the first incarnation of the internal node list that results from that. Much of mass has been redone. We're completely re-implementing all the mass machinery, and Aditya will tell more about that. Everything that is related to structure has been done. The reason that I tell these things is just to give you an idea about how far you can go with Lua. So everything that has to do with numbering, multipass data, well, basically 50% of the code, I think, that matters, is done using Lua for carrying around the data, cross-referencing, things like that. It means that we have a complete different round-trip system now. Color and other attributes, think of things like transparency is one thing, but in PDF you can have a couple of more things. is done differently. The PDF backend, my target is that I use as little as possible commands or primitives that have this backslash PDF in front of it. So even hyperlinks and all kinds of things are done in Lua by just parsing node list and looking at areas and things like that. That makes it possible by separating all these things to bring in new backends more easily if I want to do that, because it's currently quite interwoven. Because in my daily work I mostly deal with XML input, we have that was one of the first thing I did actually, a new XML parser. So we have the old one still present and there's a new one, which makes it possible to operate on the document tree to use XSLT-like syntax for accessing pieces of this tree and the document and do whatever you want to do with it. This also means that the internals of context now carry along information if something came from XML or tag or whatever, so that you later on when you reuse this information know under what, and that's for tag always important, what cut code regime and etc. things happened. Well, all the usual tools to run context, to a lot of convenience tools and whatever, are also written in Lua. Some of these changes are quite big. It's a bit small, but probably gives a good idea. All the files that deal with the LuaTeX version have the suffix mark 4. And this is the old stuff. So if you just look at the columns, this is the number of files involved. You see that there are quite some differences. Everything related to font encoding, there were 18 files here. What was it?
43.
Yeah, because I had 43. And just one, basically a compatibility thing, that sits there. So you see sometimes enormous shifts from one to the other. The special drivers, all the backend stuff is completely, well, it's basically gone because it's pure Lua now. There's still a small set of files that is shared between the two machineries, but I decided to make the split just before we push it into live, because that will make it more stable if we change things in the Mark 4 part so that users are not affected. So Mark 2 is basically the frozen version. This is the same graph, but then it shows the number of bytes involved. So these are the Lua files, and these are the Mark 2 files. And there you again see a shift from tech code to Lua code. These are the bytes with all spaces and spacing stripped, so just to give and comments to give an honest ID. And the big ones, of course, are the ones that deal with fonts. Now I need to know how to go back. Oh, it's completely gone. Okay, so this gives you an idea how far you can go if you want to really benefit from opening up the engine. The big question always is, can LuaTeX really be used? Because you can make a really nice system. NTS is a good example of the first big rewrite of tech. When it was there, it was unusable because it was 50 times slower than tech, and you don't even start experimenting with something that is 50 times slower. Well, of course, the fact that I'm spending a lot of time with it and that context uses this demonstration that it can be used, just as proof that it can be used in plain, we also ship a couple of files, especially dealing with fonts, that make it possible to use LuaTeX with plain text. Talking about production, I use the 030 version in a couple of projects. Projects that I don't want to touch anymore. And you can imagine if you re-implement everything related to structure, there's a temporary moment of instability in your system. It takes really a lot of time. This is because all the rewrites go to several stages. You rewrite something, and the engine gets adapted, and you have to rewrite it again, and things like that. I think all code passes at least three times my fingers. So how do we measure usability if we have added something or done something and want to see if it's still a usable thing? Well, one is startup time. If you are using Teg and an editor and it takes 10 minutes to start up, then it's no fun. And I'm not making any prediction how fast it will start up on an iPhone, but I would be curious. How well does it integrate in workflows? Well, I think that's often the easy thing. Especially for context, if the tools around it are okay, then it normally works. I can safely say that all the tools that I've rewritten in Lua are 2 times faster than they are in Ruby, and they are smaller. How fast is a basic LuaTeX run on multiple runs when needed? And I will show more of that later. And when measuring these things, you quickly find out that there are big differences between platforms. And it's very hard to measure precisely how good a system performs. The biggest impact we found is in the terminal. Teg sort of outputs on a character by character basis. And if you have a terminal that likes to refresh every millisecond, well, that makes a difference if you have much output. So for Windows, for instance, I installed a shell that does it, I think, a bit like Linux, with larger delays. On the Mac, it always depends a bit on what font you choose. If you choose a very sophisticated font, you can be sure that the output in your terminal scrolls slow. It's always interesting to see that editors do it fast. For instance, in TechWorks, it's no problem. Somehow, I don't know what the delays are, but editors normally do it very fast. Okay. We have 3 test documents. It is if I have enough time, I can show them later. That's what we call MK. MK is sort of the history of LuaTeX. It's now, I've decided to stop with that one, with extending that one, just at the 050 version. It's the one that we also collect some of the stuff that sometimes appears in articles and tugboats and whatever. There is a rather dumb baseline test. Just the word test on many pages. Oh, I need to the other documents. There's the Metafin manual, which is very extensive on graphics, some 1700 Metapost graphics. Imagine that you have to generate them runtime with PDF there. How much time that cost? I gave up on updating that manual because it took me so much runtime. and the LuaTeX reference manual. So we have something like, if these run through the system, then we are quite confident that we can put a version online because users will find the rest of the bug, but the basic performance, the basic thing is there. Okay. So this is the reference manual, just to give you an idea. At the end of a context run, you will get a report like this. So this is the time spent on everything related to input. That includes also loading the file database, like that. There are by now some 148 Lua modules that are present in the system. They are all put in the format, so you don't know to load them runtime. So there's some report about memory leaks, and this is quite okay. This is not a leak. Everything related to horizontal list processing. Just imagine this is Lua, so it's Lua processing. That means building ligatures using Lua, that kind of stuff. It's on this document one third of a second, etc. But the total runtime, this is always where we look at first, is 12 seconds, just over 12 seconds. So we get a throughput of 13 pages per second. Now, of course, it's always people saying, oh, this is slow, whatever. What counts is the speed that you kind of measure with yourself. If you run it and say, okay, I'm comfortable with this, then it's most cases, okay, this document has lots of tables that need multiple passes to be typeset, so it's quite okay. Font loading time, you see that this is a bit high, that's because we load a couple of extra fonts. And to come back to one of the things I said before, if you run from an editor, it's actually the startup time that counts. Not so much the one or two pages. It's startup time, you do a few pages, and you save the stuff in the PDF file. Those are the bottlenecks. You always have them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is memory footprint is 106 megabytes. That sounds maybe a bit high, but this is due to the fact that, well, if you store font information in memory in Lua, you have lots of tables, and it doesn't necessarily mean that this is always use the memory, because Lua somehow allocates memory two times as much as is needed each time. Okay, this is the metaphor manual. No, this is the MK document. Okay, again, input load time is quite constant here. H node processing is a bit more. That's because here we do Arabic stuff. And this is, I can assure you, this is really a torture test, this document. You're talking of an enormous amount of font, 69 fonts, and these fonts are huge. If you think of some of those two-type fonts, well, Geoff can confirm how big CJK fonts are. If you load four or five of them, you quickly get a lot of memory consumption, and loading time also takes a bit. What
is
you see?
Latin fonts, 69.
No,
all?
It's all. It's MK document. So it's CJK, it's Arabic, everything. It's a lot of things. Yeah, and there are fonts that are on disk at 25 megabytes. That's in binary format.
Arial Unicode.
Arial Unicode, yeah, that's really an that's a bad one, yeah. Because it also has a lot of font features. Okay, now what you see here is this is why I also showed 28 seconds. And the document takes 50 seconds to process. Now if I process it directly on this Mac, it takes 30 seconds. And this machine is just as fast as my laptop. The reason is that we found out that we think that it's the garbage collection of Lua, which behave different on different platforms. And there seems to be some kind of interference with the CPU cache and efficiency of loading stuff. As soon as we added a couple of functions to handling mass, on my machine this document took 20 seconds more. Don't ask. If this is a compiler issue or whatever, we simply cannot find out why it is. So we have to run into a situation where the opposite occurs. So here you get effectively 6 pages per second. But on the other hand, it's a complex document, so okay, I can live as it. This is the Metafun manual, and if any of you ever saw it and saw the amount of graphics, you can a bit imagine that I was quite pleased that it can be processed in just over 43 seconds. And that means, if you look at the numbers here, there are over 1700 type of graphics in it that are processed runtime, converted runtime. The interesting thing is, that is not even the bottleneck. There's 15 seconds of external execution time. Times that I start another context session to do some processing, in this case outline fonts, which need separate kind of treatment, because you create a PDF and you run it through PS to edit, and then you get an outline font and then you can use it. So if I subtract the 15 seconds, it's 30 seconds for the Metafun manual, which is 360 pages, full color, everything you can think of, which is, I think, not bad. So this makes updating such a manual doable again. Okay. And how does LuaTeX compare to the other engines? Now, I must say beforehand that it's not entirely fair, this comparison, because in Mark IV I do some optimizations and I keep cleaning up and optimizing the code. For PDFTech, well, it's less robust because you have less control, so I need to keep the code there. CTech, I could probably remove a bit of code, so the CTech numbers should be a bit better in practice if I would go through the same optimizing stage there. And on Dell laptop, well, if I just process 30 pages, CTech does 16 pages per second, LuaTeX 20 pages per second. I think CTech has a little bit more startup time there, maybe because it's also communicating with DVI, PDF mix, or whatever, I don't know. If both of them start up separately, you have two times the Apache startup time, which is actually not neglectable in Tegrens. On 300 pages, you see that it already gets a bit closer. PDFTech is always the clear winner, yeah? There's no doubt about that. I think one of the things showed here is that because we moved to a Unicode engine internally, more data, everything is wide, everything is large, you have performance. No question about it. Well, if you do 10,000 pages, then CTech becomes on the laptop the winner. You see? There's no way to predict it. That's the reason why I show something like that. It's more the impression that you get about these things. I think what you can say is that CTech and LuaTeX more or less perform about the same. And they both perform a bit slower than, I think, in general, PDFTech does. On a server, Linux server for 64 bits, then you get different numbers. Now it's interesting to see that CTech is faster on less pages, 30 pages. But on 10,000 pages, suddenly it's slower, and then LuaTeX is faster again. So that's probably where things like memory management and reclaiming and things start kicking in. And these are averages, yeah? So I do many runs, and I take the fastest, yeah? I give them the benefit of the doubt. I take the fastest out of 20 runs per sample.
For each step, we have 20 runs, and the fastest.
And then the fastest, yeah. Yeah? So they more or less eliminate caching and disk space and whatever. So for me, I thought that there would be a pattern. There is a certain pattern in it, in the sense that PDF is the fastest. Yeah, I think that's the only thing we can say. On the other hand, what you can see is that the Unicode engine don't perform that bad.
In Windows case, what kind of executable did you use for GTEC?
Akira's.
Uh-huh.
Akira's.
Uh-huh. Akira's one is very fast one.
Yeah. You mean it's optimized? Okay, that it's for Linux. I don't know. I take the things from the garden and they are compiled there from the sources. So I noticed this is interesting. When I did the LuaTeX, it's not here. When I did the 32-bit LuaTeX binaries on Linux, they are some 30-40% slower. It really makes a difference. I don't know why. Taco thinks it has to do with the number of registers and things like that. That may play a role. So if you have a 64-bit machine and you have critical workflow, it really pays off. For the Mac, we did a similar test. For the Mac, it stayed 32 bits. Yeah, because 64 bits is slower than. Okay, so this is a bit what I wanted to show you. Just, I don't know how much time I've left. So this is the document that one of the documents that we use for testing. Just browse through it just so that you get an idea. For instance, these are pages that are fetched from the web and inserted, yeah? And things like that. You also fetch from the web. So for this document, you always have to take into account if it takes time to get it from the web. There's some caching going on, so normally it shouldn't matter. This is always interesting if you do a first run. If you do a test, the speed test with the first run on a system that just has a new version of context, there's a good chance that the fonts in the font catch has to be regenerated well, and then you. So what I do here is this is the development history. More, if we set an important step, I just make a summary. We put a test in here. We also, as I thought, you needed to check if things are a problem, some error in here. Some point here is where we started with Sapfino. I can show some of that later in the plain tech talk if I have time. This is things about Arabic. You see things like what we do actually do a lot is adding all kinds of options for tracing. So if you can see the colored stuff there, this is an indication of where the initial and the final forms are and things like that. That helps us a lot. So we have a complete new tracing subsystem. Some CJK stuff, etc., etc. So this is one of the documents. There is the reference manual. Well, the reference manual, as I told you, has a lot of tables. And they look simple, but these are tables that break over pages and things like that. So you have a couple of passes over this kind of thing always. There's quite some color, that means that you have a lot of color switches. And you can see on each page, you can see the page number has its own graphic. Yeah. This is the Lua Moon going around the page number. So there are just as many MetaPost graphics in here as there are pages.
Do you reuse them?
Well, no, I cannot reuse them. They are different.
No, I mean it cycles, so at some point you don't.
No, it doesn't cycle. The last page, it takes a number of pages.
So you have exactly...
Yeah, exactly one round, yeah.
Well, you still can reuse it if you rotate.
I'm pretty sure that rotating it takes more time than rerunning the graphic. Because in tech, boxing, unboxing and things
also
takes time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's that document. And I had the MetaFun manual. This is the MetaFun manual, which has also different graphics for each corner and lots of graphics. And so the nice thing is this is generated runtime. You don't notice that it's processed. You can download these things from the web. Okay, this is a bit what I wanted to tell you about Lua. So to summarize, we have a more or less stable version 0.40 on TechLive. We are working towards 0.50, which is the official C version, so to say. And then, you can use it if you want to use it. And if you want to play with it, I would say, well, just start using it as if you are using PDF there, and then see where you end up.
Thank you. My question is, you talked about opening up the output routine, and I wonder if this will provide a mechanism potentially for the holy grail of tech development since day one, which is to optimize page breaking over the entire document.
Yeah, well, but one of the things that you can do is
save all the pages.
Right. What currently is a problem is, just as a scientific said, one of the first things, and that's thing is what I've done is re-implemented the context spacing model so that you can have weighted points where pages can be broken in a more clever way than penalties and whatever are. When you do that, you find out that you always have the problem in tech. The tech is an internal state. They say, okay, I've already this, and I look at this, I can look at the list, but you need to be able to feed it back into the state. Now, this is one of the reasons why we need to go to C, because then you can have a structure where all the things carries on. So that's the first thing that I hope to improve.
Right.
And then there's a callback that as soon as something is added to the main vertical list, you get a linked list.
Uh-huh.
What you can do is just put it and maybe it makes sense in that case to say, okay, I do it chapter wise or so, yeah? Not necessarily for the whole book.
Right.
And this opens up the possibility to do that. Another thing is, for instance, grid snapping, which is if you want to have two columns at the same time, if you can loop over the list and adapt the height and the width, the height and the depth to the exact line, height and depth that you want. You can even say, okay, this is too high, I snap it to 1.5 or to 2, move it around a bit. You can suddenly have perfectly aligned columns. So this is really, if you talk about the big thing in context, the next big thing is everything related to page building and output. And that is going to be a tough job because
future years.
Yeah, that will take a couple of years. Also because I want to retain some, well, at least some compatibility. Yeah, I have no problem if things come out better. Yeah, but you shouldn't really lose functionality. That's a bad thing.